Radio Prague News.
And our leader Andrej Babiš reacts to the police move against him. Škoda Auto recall cars and there's a lower 2017 harvest. And our leader Andrej Babiš said he was surprised by the police move to seek the lifting of his parliamentary immunity. He said he had recently been told that he would just be a witness in the so-called Stork's Nest affair. Babiš added that the move was part of a political battle and attempt to discredit him and prevent him from standing in elections to the lower house scheduled for October. ANO Deputy Chairman Jaroslav Faltinek said he would not prevent any moves to push ahead with the investigation against him. He added that he had also been expected to be treated as a witness as a former board member of the agrochemical group Agrofert. He added he was being victimised by the police. The Lower House Committee dealing with immunity issues is likely to meet on August the 18th. The first meeting of the Lower House of Parliament to deal with the issue is seen taking place on September the 5th. The Stork's Nest affair focuses on 50 million crowns in European funds for small and medium-sized businesses claimed for a hotel and recreation centre linked to Andrej Babiš's company Agrofert. Škoda Auto models sold in Russia have been recalled by mother company Volkswagen due to technical problems. The recall affects 3,463 cars in total, with Octavia, Yeti and Rapid models built by the Czech Republic's biggest car maker included. It's not the first time that Škoda cars sold in Russia have been subject to recalls this year. Earlier, a much bigger recall of 43,000 cars built between 2012 and 2016 included nearly all models in the Czech carmaker's range. A Czech university has announced the discovery of a new strain of rabbit fever. The discovery has been announced by the University of Veterinary and Pharmaceutical Sciences in Brno after the sudden deaths of scores of rabbits across the country in July. They found a previous version of the fever as well as the newer one, which often lasts longer but appears to have a reduced death toll of up to 70% compared with the 90% death rate of the older fever. And the grain and rape harvest is predicted to be a lot lower in 2017. The cereals harvest is predicted to be 13.2% lower than last year's above average yield at 6.7 million tonnes. The rape harvest is seen down 11.8% at 1.19 million tonnes. The area under cereals cultivation was slightly down this year, while that under cultivation for rape was 0.3% higher. And registered partnerships between same-sex couples have taken place 137 times in the first 6 months of 2017. 81 of those were between gay men and 56 between women. That's a slight reduction on the first half of 2016. In the 11 years since registered partnerships were recognised, there have been 2,647 so-called gay marriages. And finally, one of the Czech Republic's biggest Czech medal hopes at the Olympic World Championships in London, Susanna Hejnová came fourth in the 400 metres hurdles on Thursday night. Hejnová, who performed well in the qualifications, had a time of 54.20 seconds behind the 53.07 of race winner American Corey Carter. And finally, the weather. The weather on Saturday is expected to be overcast with sunny intervals. Top temperatures will range between 17 and 23 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, police have asked the Lower House to strip ANO leader Andrej Babiš of his parliamentary immunity, opening up the way for a criminal investigation. And as a week-long festival of LGBT culture winds to an end in Prague, we hear a personal take on what life is like for gays and lesbians in this country. And later on, we'll find out more about the Brutal Assault Music Festival currently underway. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Police have asked the lower house to waive parliamentary immunity in the case of MPs Andrei Babiš, the leader of the ANA party, and his deputy chairman Jaroslav Faltinek. The police are pursuing an investigation regarding the Stork's Nest, a recreation centre and hotel complex, which belonged to a firm owned by Mr. Babiš's agro-technical giant Agrofert. The company received a 50 million crown EU grant for small and medium-sized companies in what may have constituted fraud. Jan Wellinger has the story.
The Stork's Nest affair first flared up last year, prompting an investigation by the Czech police, but also the European Fraud Office. The investigation took a big step forward on Thursday when the police formally asked the lower house to strip two of the main actors in the case, ANA leader and former businessman Andrei Babiš and party deputy leader Jaroslav Faltinek, to be stripped of parliamentary immunity. Mr. Faltinek said he would not try and prevent any moves regarding the police investigation, but did stress he was being, in his view, victimized by the police. And his party leader, Andrei Babiš, went further, calling the step nothing less than part of a political battle to discredit him as a politician ahead of the autumn election.
I don't understand what the police are building on. It's basically a sad last-ditch effort by those who ordered it to prevent me from running in the elections this fall.
Mr. Babiš added that he had a meeting with investigators not long ago, where he said he was told he was a witness, not a suspect. In the case, 50 million crowns in EU funds went to a firm which, at the time, was not owned by Agrofert but had been transferred to Mr. Babiš's adult children and to his son-in-law. The politician maintained from the start that he had done nothing wrong, and in the public eye, the scandal had little effect on his party's popularity. Polls before and since routinely place ANO as the clear favorite in the upcoming election. Some analysts suggest on Thursday that potential fallout over the Stork Nest affair could change that. Following the police request, politicians across the political spectrum, from the ruling Social Democrats to the opposition Topo 9 and Communists, indicated they would likely back the motion to strip Mr. Babiš and his fellow MP of immunity. Topo 9 leader Miroslav Kalousek.
There are two things the police request can pertain to, either Mr. Babiš's crown bonds or the Stork's Nest. It's either of those two things. I can tell you we will unequivocally support the motion. If it's about something else, then we'll see.
Former Speaker of the Lower House and member of the Civic Democratic Party, Miroslava Němcová, responded to the timing of the police request so close to the next election.
I have to trust in the professionalism of the police and that the investigation had reached a stage where it was not possible to hold off the request and wait until after the election. That would be a clear double standard.
The police request will now be discussed by a special lower house committee, and MPs could then address the matter in their first post-holiday session on September the 5th.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Moving on now, Lukáš Hodek is a Czech artist, a leading figure in the Hate Free Initiative and an openly gay campaigner for LGBT rights. During Prague Pride Week, Dominik Jun asked him how he thinks the Czech Republic fares as a tolerant country.
I think that in comparison to other countries, the situation of LGBTQ community in Czech Republic is quite good. I think if we compare to Western Europe, there are still some challenges we face. But if you compare to the rest of the world, the Czech society is quite tolerant. But the tolerant doesn't mean respectful.
Have you experienced any prejudice yourself as a result of your sexuality?
Yes, I was target of bullying at the high school, which was quite brutal. Sometimes it was physical and psychological as well. And I was several times attacked while being with a boyfriend or by people who knew about my sexuality. But it's not that common anymore. But these things still happen.
How would you sort of chart the growth of sort of openness of being gay, lesbian and LGBTQ in the Czech Republic?
Yeah, it's changing quite a lot. If we just look at the research of the opinions of Czech population, it's improving every year. And now I think the majority of the population is supportive even for gay marriages or for adoptions of children by LGBT communities. So it's really changing quite fast, and I think it's just because the topic is quite a lot discussed and it's shown by media very much. And I think that what helps is mostly showing the daily life of LGBT community, that we don't really speak just about them, but we speak with them and we present their daily life and their daily problems, which can show us that we have the same lifestyle, let's say, or the same problems we have to solve.
Do you know of other members of the LGBT community? How common is it to suffer some kind of prejudice or violence or abuse of any kind? Is it becoming a rare phenomenon, or would you say that most of the people you know in this community have experienced some sort of problems like that?
I think all of people that I have around me, I mean gays and lesbians, experience some kind of prejudice or discrimination, but it's not that often anymore, or it's not happening every day, but it happens sometimes. And if you are, for example, attacked on the street for being gay or for walking with your boyfriend or girlfriend, it just really affects your life in a very bad way. It's a traumatic situation, and that's why still many gay and lesbian people don't come out to their families or to their colleagues at work. Also, the legal system, where is kind of discrimination, for example, during adoptions or tries to adopt babies by people in registered partnership who are not given children to care, and sometimes they don't really get the real reason for not being given the child, but the reason most probably is that they are just the gay couple and the people who decide it don't really think it's suitable for the kid.
So you're saying certain people in the civil service, in the state, are making sort of moral judgments that are impairing the legal right of gays and lesbians to adopt children, right?
Well, it could be, and there is still a law, or there is still a problem with the law about registered partnership, that people who live in this condition cannot adopt babies. It was changed by the highest court, I think, last year, in the case of one couple, so it shouldn't happen anymore. But the question is, how is the practice like in everyday life? And I just recently, just a few minutes ago, got some information about such a case from my very close friends who were denied a child.
Prague and Brno, I would say, are known as very cosmopolitan cities. Presumably it's a lot easier there for LGBTQ people to sort of conduct their relationships in an open manner. But what's it like in the rest of the Czech Republic? Are there still parts of the country, more rural parts or smaller towns, where it's more difficult in that regard?
I think it's true that, of course, in the bigger cities, the society is a bit more open. So the situation, of course, is much more difficult for gays and lesbians in the regions. I mean, I know many gays and lesbians who were not, for example, bullied for their sexuality, even though everybody knew about them in the village or in the small town. And then there are people who were target of very brutal bullying. So it's changing, and I would say that, for example, at the school these days, the children are much more open than they were 20 years ago, and it doesn't really matter where you are. But, of course, if you live in some smaller areas where people, they don't have experience with gay people, they can be much more like full of prejudice, or they can behave due to their prejudices they have.
Lukáš Hodek speaking there to Dominik Jun. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature with Jan Fellinger.
Brutal Assault is one of the best-known festivals of heavy or extreme music in the Czech Republic, from black metal to hardcore punk. Every year it takes place within the grounds of an 18th-century fortress known as Josefov. That's in the town of Jaromíř, near the Polish border. In fact, it's on right now, with some 20,000 people attending this week to see more than 100 bands. And in the past, bands like Motorhead performed there. I was curious about the festival's history. Brutal Assault's Radek Pavlovich told me more this week.
Brutal Assault started back in 1996 as a small underground event for just hundreds of people. So we've been running for 21 years already, and it became one of the biggest metal festivals in Europe.
It takes place at a town called Jaromir, which is near the Polish border. Does that mean that a fairly large part of the audience is Polish?
Exactly. In general, 70% of fans attending this festival are from abroad, and I would say like most of them are from Poland, because in Poland there are no festivals like these, so they are attending our festival. Mm-hmm. And it's quite, you know, appreciated among Polish fans.
And of course, your pages are also in, I don't know, a whole bunch of languages, Russian, Hungarian, Italian, French, so you get people from all over.
All over Europe, and even some countries like India or Venezuela, and we get like true fans from Venezuela, for example, but you know the political situation there, so they are not able to come again, but I just wanted to say that we get true fans all over the world.
I'd like to ask you specifically about the many attractions of this festival, what is special about it, in just a moment. But before we get to that, one of the things that sort of made headlines this week was the fact that it's completely sold out a few days before it began, and there will be no tickets available on site. Is that a common occurrence with Brutal Assault?
It was for the first time in our history that we got sold out at pre-sale, and the official number, like final number of people attending this festival is 20,000, but it's including bands, crew, and guests.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the number of visitors there, roughly. How long have, say, visitor numbers been at around that level? Is this something that increased significantly, say, over the last 5 or 10 years?
Well, last year and year before last year, it was more or less the same. We got like 18,000 people. And, I mean, the big difference was after we moved to Josefov, to this fortress, which was 10 years ago, there was a big difference when it comes to fans attending this festival. And it was like 3,000 one year and like 9,000 another year. So there was a huge jump. We were always like almost sold out, you know what I mean? And this is like for the first time.
This is obviously a festival celebrating hard music, but my question is it still heavy metal? I was thinking of kind of like maybe a beginner or a fledgling heavy metal fan who likes, say, mainstream, you know, AC/DC, maybe a bit of early Black Sabbath, Judas Priest. Would they feel comfortable here, or is this really even heavier than that, more offshoots of the genre like black metal, death metal, crossover, and so on?
First of all, it's not about heavy metal only, it's about heavy music, extreme music in general. We got also like some electro stuff and some ambient experimental stuff as well. This is philosophy of Brutal Assault, that we want to show people like what is interesting within underground scene, and we'd like to arrange bands so everyone can enjoy as many favorite bands as possible, and everyone can discover some new bands. Somebody can discover some new level of heavy music in general.
Mm-hmm. So it's all good, you know, whatever end of the pool you get in.
Exactly.
So one of the unusual things about this concert area is that it dates back to this fortress, which is named after the Austrian ruler Joseph II.
Exactly.
What does that add to the experience?
Pretty unusual, even like among European festivals, because you know when you imagine like classical summer festival, it's all about like airfields and stuff like this, like a just flat landscape, nothing special, and it can help the atmosphere of bands playing on the stages among, you know, within like fortress walls of the fortress, and for example, bands really appreciate it that they can play in some unusual places. And for example, back in 2011, where Motorhead played here, they agreed to play just because it's a historic fortress, and Lemmy was kind of fan of the history, and he wanted to play here just because of the fortress, you know.
Are elements of the fortress used stylistically? Are they lit up in a way to kind of reflect what's going on, or to add to the atmosphere, or are they simply the backdrop?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a backdrop only. We like to work with the area more than just a, you know, in a way like walls behind the stages. So we use it as a corridors inside the wall, inside the fortress. We use it as a bars and some chill out zones and stuff like this, and for meet and greet with bands. So we'd like to, you know, I would call it, we'd like to use the atmosphere of the fortress as much as we can.
The Czechoslovak band Master's Hammer, this is one of the big performances, isn't it?
The band, they only record, you know, albums, and they don't play live. And this year they decided to come back after 25 years of no playing shows.
Mm-hmm.
And another special thing about this band is that the lineup is actually not original, but there's two original members with four members of famous Czech metal bands called Root and Thor and Avenger, who joined the current lineup of Master's Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for old school black metal fan from Europe, it's kind of interesting because it's the lineup consists of members like old school, like legendary Czechoslovakian bands.
My final question has to do with the overall look. It's what one would expect from a heavy metal festival. Of course, how you graphically present something is important in getting attention. So I was looking at your website, and there's the dark imagery and kind of medieval imagery of, they look like medieval doctors, really. They have those crow-like masks, or perhaps they're crows. And I had to laugh because you featured Franz Josef as kind of a zombie or kind of a decrepit version. I guess you're poking fun a little bit at the country's history. Is France kind of your mascot?
Just this year, artwork. And, you know, we just wanted to make something connected with the fortress. I mean, Joseph II built this fortress.
Sure.
Okay, but nobody knows him. So we just put Franz Josef as a, you know, typical face of Austrian-Hungarian Empire. Because of the connection with the fortress and with this unusual, unique area. And it's kind of fun.
Brutal Salts Radek Pavlovich speaking there to Jan Wellinger, and I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, please write to english@radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.